Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st Century Talk for a no-bullshit world. Because it's all about embracing a healthy lifestyle that's accompanied by a daily fitness program. Wouldn't you say, Kathy?
Absolutely.
Where do you see we have in the studio today? Kathy Kaler. Well, first of all, she's got an awesome show right after me called Fit and Sexy for Life. So check it out at 1 o'clock. Kathy Kaler, author, celebrity trainer, spokesperson, mom, LA fitness star. Been doing this a couple of years, huh? Well, you've been doing fitness your whole life.
That I have. But here at LA Talk Radio for almost 2 years coming up.
No kidding.
Super fun. Love it. Love the radio.
Yeah, she's awesome. We're going to get into that and talk about all the, I mean, everybody you've trained from Julia Roberts, Jennifer Lopez, Kim Kardashian. The list goes on and on and on. I can't wait to hear all about that. And then you were at Today Show for like 13 years, right?
I was. The great days of the Today Show.
The great days. That was Katie Couric days?
I loved Katie Couric, Bryant, Matt. Mm. Yeah.
That was a great game. Bryant Gumbel, no kidding. Mm-hmm. I love those days. Well, we're gonna be talking, so we're going to do a little quick around the globe today, guys, because I want to spend most of the time talking to Kathy. So here we go. Let's thank yesterday's guest, Brittany Benz. I mean, did you guys, I don't know if you want to check that one out. Brittany and her wife were here, Alex. Very interesting show, talking transsexuals, fetish models. Yeah, she's an interesting gal. Stanford graduate, MIT engineer, had her own company, and then kind of found herself in... became a porn star, I guess. Porn star, fetish. I mean, I guess that's
I'm going to have to tune in.
You're going to have to tune in. Lipstick lesbians. I didn't even know what the hell the lipstick lesbian was until she explained it.
Okay.
Trans lesbians. That's a new word, too, for me. I'm very familiar with transgender. My dear friend's transgender, so I'm very familiar with that. But, you know, she was pretty mellow overall, Kathy. Yeah. I thought it was going to get, but it wasn't. Didn't get kind of crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. That's good news. But check it out in the archives. That's latalkradio.com/Tola Talks. You guys can check that out. Or my website, too. I blog about it, richtola.com. And on that note, we are going to move right over to around the globe for the latest news, right? A couple stories here. We're calling this first one, Oh Canada. You been to Canada?
I own property in Canada. Yeah. So the answer is yes.
No kidding. I hope not near Ottawa.
No. Further east.
Further east. Okay, good. Because there was several shooting incidents in downtown Ottawa. No kidding. It was like 30 shots fired. This morning, it was 10 o'clock Eastern time. It was at the National War Memorial near Parliament Hill. Said there was a couple of gunmen, but one gunman was killed. And he fired four shots at a soldier who was standing guard at the war memorial. Now, here's what's interesting. On Wednesdays, all the members of parliament are there for their caucuses, right? So it's been kind of news been going on. Canada raised their terror alert on Friday to high, and they had to usher Prime Minister Stephen Harper was evacuated. He's safe. Ambulance took away a victim. It's kind of wild stuff. I don't know. Did you hear about that? Shootings?
I did hear about it. I haven't had a second to get a little more details. You're actually explaining a little bit more in depth of what's going on. You know, it's like, you hate to say it, but you just know that each day, God, where is it going to unfold? And unfortunately, it ends up somewhere.
That's why you got to be loving yourself and kicking your butt in the gym, huh?
And loving the day.
Yeah. Because you never know. These kooky people. Now, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I love that. And we got to get our own mounted police over here. Well, they cautioned everybody to stay away from downtown. I mean, this was in the Parliament building, shots fired in the foyer, and then there were shots fired entrance to the library, people on the ground. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on, but some radicals out there, you can't be doing that shit, taking guns around, killing people, shooting people. Well, we'll talk about that later, getting your shit together, but I don't know. Well, let's go over here to the second story called Happy Days Are Here Again. I'm calling that, but Social Security checks, hey, for those of you who are retired, 65 and over, they're going up 1.7%. and starting January, and you're going to get $22 a month more a month, right? Hey.
The question is, where is that money coming from? Where has it been pulled? Let me guess. The CDC? Oh, that's what some people are saying. God, who knows?
They just fabricated in Philadelphia at the Mint.
Let's make up some more dollar bills.
More dollar bills. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other topic of discussion. But in 2015, right, the average worker is going to receive $1,328 a month. I mean, well, in some places, I guess you could live off of that. But that's a total of about $16,000 a year. And it's more than 58 million people will see a bump in January. I mean, I guess that's good news, right? You're talking, they haven't had any benefit increases in the prior 2 years. Prices did go up. 12 months ending September, consumer price index up 1.7%. So the government matched it. They said, all right, it's up. We're going to match it. Okay. Yeah. Housing prices are still going up, folks. So they said 10% of people 65 and over are living in poverty in the U.S. So, I don't know.
Again, love the day.
Gotta love the day.
Gotta love the day.
Gotta be present. Be smiling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, $1,300 a month. It's rough stuff for a lot of people out there. There's no doubt. But
that's true.
So let's talk about rough stuff. How about this story? Losing $2 billion in 2 days. I hate when that happens. Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha. Everybody knows him. The investment genius, philanthropist. Talk about a bad week. Well, he's worth $63 billion. He's not the number one. Gates is number one. I think he was at like 87. But he's been the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. I was a big investment guy back in the day. I did the Wall Street thing. He's been there since 1970. You know, a share of their stock's about $200,000. But let me tell you, he's I don't know what's happening, but he lost $2 billion this week. Well, kind of interesting. Coke, he owns a big piece. His Berkshire Hathaway, it's BRKB. They own a big stake in Coke and IBM. Well, Coke, well, dropped 6%. So he lost $1 billion on that. And the earnings didn't live up to expectations, that's for sure. And IBM dropped 7%, lost $1.3 billion. So between IBM and Coke, disappointing earnings.
He's down $2 billion.
He's down $2 billion. couple $2-3 billion is no big deal for a guy worth $63 billion. But no, but here's the wild thing. Berkshire Hathaway, the stock is up 17% this year. You just can't get enough of that. Well, Wells Fargo, he owns a big piece of, they're up 11%. But here's what he says. The Oracle, the genius, says, the more stocks go down, the more I like to buy. No kidding.
Maybe he lost it on purchases.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he really, do you think it's going to ruffle its feathers a little bit? No.
No, it's just a little more time to think strategy and you know, what's my next move?
What's my next move living for today? And he hasn't bought a house since 1958. He's like a modest guy.
He's driving the same car probably from 1958.
Car. Yeah. Stock picker. You know, everybody knows he plays bridge with Bill Gates a lot. And he plays the ukulele.
Love it.
And he owns Dairy Queen. That's one of my... You a Dairy Queen? Are you back east?
Listen, back east, Dairy Queen is big. Canada, Dairy Queen, because they have the Dairy Queen drive-through, which is also the Dairy Queen's... I think it's Dairy Queen Grill.
You can get fast food. No kidding.
And your parfaits.
It's kind of like Foster's. You know Foster's over here?
Yep.
Although
I have not gone to Foster's.
I go to Foster's. There's one right up the block from where I live. And I will say I've had one of theirs, the double burgers. I'm not much of a meat eater. Are you a vegetarian?
I'm not a vegetarian, but I eat meat infrequently. But when I do, the choice has to be for me grass-fed.
Right. So you go the healthy route.
I go the healthy route.
You're going to do it because I'm okay with, I don't eat meat. I'm like, when I do eat it, well, then again, at Foster's, it's not grass-fed.
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
No.
I would say once a month.
My preference would be like a bison burger because typically those are organically grown, fed and grass-fed, and it's just much leaner meat. Very little cholesterol. So it's a good choice and it's a good source of protein. But it's infrequent.
I like those two words, good choice.
Good choice.
It's all about choices, right?
It is.
It's like a choose to be smiling and be happy today.
It's our choice.
It's our choice. It's always beautiful here, so how could you not be happy, right? You've been on the West Coast. Well, you lived in the Coors. I see that. You were a big fitness gal over at Coors.
I was.
The brewing company, right?
I was. That was fresh out of college. Mm. I am a Midwesterner, born in Michigan, and my father was an engineer, and we traveled around, so he had a job in São Paulo, Brazil. We spent years there, and headed over across Lake Michigan to Wisconsin for a little bit of time. Hmm. But, you know, most of my schooling was in Michigan. And then after graduation, I had this just incredible opportunity to send in an application and a resume and kind of my essay about why I should be an intern at Coors Wellness Center. And people always, you know, they chuckle like, oh, here's a fitness person going to work for a beer company. But, you know, hats off to Coors, family-owned business and very attentive to the health and wellness of their family, and that includes their employees. And so they were one of the very first corporate fitness programs in the country. And, you know, big corporations now have obviously followed suit. Apple, Coke, you know, all of them do have some type of wellness program. But I feel like I was kind of, you know, put my pioneer pants on and learned about, you know, how it's done on a corporate level, getting people to participate in wellness programs so that their absenteeism goes down, their productivity goes up, the workplace attitude is more positive, and that was really the beginning of my career.
You're revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
Love that word. No, but you're right about that, because 20 years ago, I mean, I've been working business years for a lot of years, and they didn't have that. There was no wellness, and they didn't promote it in the beginning. They had a little room and said, oh, here's a little room, but nobody. You got, that's the key, right? You get everybody involved, and then it becomes a group activity. I mean, I remember when softball became popular, one of my, I don't even know what years they were, maybe the 90s or 2000s, but no, getting the fitness going, I mean, that's awesome. And now you're right, it's proliferated around companies everywhere.
Well, and I think companies realize that there is such a cost, you know, on the bottom line for insurance and keeping their employees healthy and happy is the key to a, you know, just a very functional and effective employee. And so when you look at fitness, it needs to be adapted to one's lifestyle, and having it at the workplace brings that employee in early before work so that they can get that workout done, or to have it there for a lunchtime workout, which Coors had a lot of people in that would take their lunch hour workout and then have that last 15 minutes to eat, or after work, and then offering childcare so that if it's where, you know, you got to go grab your kid, but you still would like to work out, come back and use the facility. I mean, there's really been such a focus for companies to provide this because it does improve their bottom line with insurance.
No doubt. And with the child care, that's important. I just met a gal yesterday talking about coming to take a yoga class. Well, I have a 3-year-old kid. I said, bring the kid. They have child care. All gyms do. I mean, you really need to have that. That's important, because you can't hinder these moms just because they have a 3 or 4-year-old child. I mean, you have a child.
I have three.
Three children.
Although they're big now.
They're big now. Like, I saw that, and then in the profile, mom. I'm like, she's a mom.
Yeah, they're big. I've got twins who are 18. Wow. And then I've got my youngest who's 14.
Oh, okay, so the twins have sort of paved the way for the youngest, or the youngest.
They are paving. They are paving. They just graduated from high school and are off on their own at college.
Ooh, are they going back to Michigan? Where are they?
No, actually, one is out here at Chapman University studying film, and the other one is going to be on the other side of the camera, and he's at Pace University in Manhattan.
Nice. I know Pace.
Yeah,
I know Pace. I know Chapman as well.
There you go.
Did some work at Chapman.
There you go.
Everybody knows. Yeah, that's awesome. So look at you. So you're all settled here.
Oh, you know. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Exactly. Make good choices. Doesn't really matter where you're settled, where you lay your beads.
Love the day.
Love the day. Now, I like what you're saying about that, all the corporate fitness. But I also like what you said about each person customizing. And it's pretty cool because I used to teach over at 6000 Sunset Boulevard, right across from the Roxy. There's a building. Or was it 9000? It might be 9000. I forget.
Okay.
But anyway, there's an office building right there, and there was a kitchen and one. And I see it right overlook right over the Roxy. And at 5 o'clock, a friend of mine, it was her class, but then I would sub for her a lot. And it was wild. They used the kitchen. We taught yoga in the kitchen, and there was like they filled every space.
That's awesome.
15 people, right?
Now, when was this? Because I taught nearby there at Martin Henry's.
Okay.
Remember Martin Henry's? I'm older than you.
Yeah. Well, so, maybe not.
I don't know. It just must be all of our fitness.
Could
we
be.
Just look so good, you know? But I taught over there in West Hollywood. That studio was on La Cienega and Holloway.
Okay. I know exactly where you're talking.
I think right now is in that location, Barry's Boot Camp.
I know Barry's Boot Camp.
But prior to that was Martin Henry, so I taught there for good many years.
Tough to get there with the traffic at that hour, I will say. Right?
5 o'clock. Oh, God. Oof. Well, now forget it.
Forget it. I'm serious. I'd have to leave at 5. So I told her, I said, I can't. That's a tough class to teach.
Yeah.
You have to leave your house at 4. I was living in Hollywood on Bronson.
Yeah. Not worth it.
Forget about it. By the time you get back, right, for the one class, I mean, it was a great group, though. They were so pumped up because they just looked forward to yoga at 5. So there's all sorts of great programs. I love that all around the world. And, before we go further, I want to get this one in. We do this. It's called Get Your Shit Together. Now, I don't think you've heard any of these, but I did a 30-podcast show called Get Your Shit Together. And it's all about, all about positivity, bringing it into every compartment in your life, from anywhere from stop futurizing to proper gym etiquette. That was one of my favorites. People just drop equipment, and I say you got to treat the gym like a library. You take a book off the shelf, put it back to where it goes. If you see something laying on the ground, even if you pick up something off the ground and use it, put it back where it goes. Don't put it back on the ground. There's a lot of bozos out there. But no, this Get Your Shit Together work. When I was doing this, every day I come up with this. This one I was, at first it was like, hands down, this lady gets the award. But after reading all the facts, I'm a little bit on the fence. So, Kathy, you're going to have to help me out with this because I'm not sure if we got to give it to this woman. I think we do, but I need some help because this takes place across the pond in the UK, Crawley, West Sussex, southern part of England, right? Here's a woman. How about this? A baby's born being hooked on happy pills because her mother had prenatal depression. She couldn't handle it, so she took a lot of antidepressant pills. She believed she had no choice. She talked about suicide. So the baby, Etienne, was born drug addicted. Mm. Suffered withdrawals for 6 months, jerking, arms flailing, distressed, sobs. This baby, couldn't even... Well, anyway, the mother was struck with this depression. They say 1 out of 7 pregnant women in the UK suffer this condition. And she said it was 9 months... called a 9-month tunnel of doom, anxiety and despair. It wasn't joyful every morning. Said, I really couldn't do this. She didn't know what to do. And then she started taking these pills. I don't know. So at first I said, hey, this is a choice, right? You gotta choose between taking pills, knowing, and then she knew the health hazards of this baby. Now, they don't know the long-term effects, but they do believe that, because the research done at Mass General Hospital here in the States, they analyzed 7,800 children ages 2 to 19, okay, and with their moms taking prescription pills during pregnancy, and they all had a risk or more cases of ADHD. Now, they don't know the long-term side effects of this little baby, but, I don't know how I feel about that. So I wanted to give the award saying, hey, got to get your shit together. If you know that these pills are going to hurt the baby, then it took 6 months for the baby to get off the pills. Mm-hmm. She had to keep taking the pills, breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird. They had to regulate it down, so they weaned her off. Now she wants to have another child. Now, this is a larger woman who, I don't know what the health risks were for her, but passing on to the baby, she knew she was doing it, but she said either that or I maybe would have committed suicide. Mm. What about all the other women? One out of seven women. So I don't know, Kathy. I'm like on the fence because part of me is like, got to give it to her. You can't be doing that to the babies because now you're affecting another human life. But the other part says if she can't get by, how could she not get by? What about other types of therapy? So what do you think?
Well, I think we are living in a time where more and more of mental health issues are so in our news, coming from this story, which is something very personal and individual in that it is a situation that she's suffering from some form of depression, and now it has affected the child that she just had, to the stories where people take this type of depression, anxiety, and then deep-seated psychosis into these mass killings as maybe possibly the one that is occurring as we speak in Ottawa. I'll tell you where I stand on a lot of this is... I look back at my childhood. I even asked my husband this the other day. I said, do you remember in your elementary school years all these cases of children who have attention deficit? They have, all these letter things, ADHD. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's so many new things that are coming up, and parents are putting these kids on medication to calm this and calm that. I believe that there is such an imbalance in nutrients, both micro and macro. And defined micro are the very elements that our bodies need, the minerals, the vitamins. The macronutrients are just our basis of our fuel, our carbs, our protein, our fats. We live in a time where people are with an abundance of food, especially in this country, but we are so malnourished because of the poor quality of food, the what I call not eating disorders, but disordered eating, that depression can be a lack of vitamin D. And people are doing tremendous amounts of work on the lack of vitamin D, from research to, physicians are now asking to have that as part of your blood draw to see if there's a deficiency there. And it's across the board. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's tremendous. And that vitamin D is very much linked with potential causes of depression. And you look at different parts of the country. As we are now entering into winter, the northern part of the United States, and go across the pond, sunlight is less starting now, October, November, December, January, February. And the numbers of depression rise in these particular months. So you take this lady in particular, hormone disruption from being pregnant. She could be lacking vitamin D. Who knows if she was on a prenatal vitamin? Who know? There's so many different questions that
but they're big picture.
Asked.
They're and, big picture and it's big, overarching.
It is. It really is. And so was taking a antidepressant the only answer? I believe not, but it might have been the only answer she was given.
At that particular time.
At that particular time.
Everything you're talking about is a mindset, and it leads up to this. So she didn't know she was going to get depression, right, when she had the baby, when it occurred, because it does occur in one out of seven women. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know it. Leading up to it, she wasn't really probably prepared to be pregnant. I don't know. That's a whole nother thing. I know it's really important now for women. You want to get ready for that, right? You want to be in shape.
Yeah.
You want to have the best possible body condition prior to carrying a baby and all that extra weight. So she wasn't probably prepared for that. And the overarching theme of, hey, you can address this issue by looking at what you're intaking, not so much putting more pills into your body.
Right.
But you're right. At that particular juncture, she's got to decide, okay, the horse, you know, the barn door is open, the horse has been let out. I got to decide, I got a baby in me. I'm either going to kill myself or I take these pills. I don't know. I'm still thinking, could she see other doctors?
Well, and I think to your, you know, get your shit together, she's already experienced this once.
Right.
So now you know.
Exactly.
So how about yes, I believe she would be a very good winner of this. Because if you're thinking, gosh, you know, I want to have another child, let's get it together.
Get prepared.
Get prepared. Get your body ready. This is a feat that has to occur. And, you know, you're bringing life into the world. It should be every mother's best interest to provide that child from conception that, you know, you're doing the best that you can. And she now knows that what she did previously didn't have that great of an outcome.
Right, so got to get your shit together now. Susan Barden, we're going to give a shout out to you over there. You got to get your shit together, okay? The one baby went through it. I agree with Kathy. That's why I got you on the board here. You get the award for the Get Your Shit Together award today. You can't be doing that for the second baby. Got to get it together. You know, I would definitely start working out. We're going to give you some good tips to do here, because if you're not, you got to get to it, and you got to stay in shape. So on that note, We're going to talk about all these, and there's so much over here, Kathy. Sunday, setup, you did that, you're contributing writer, L, self. I mean, this woman across from me sitting right here has got, look at this, tips and been in all these magazines. Shape, Fitness, Allure, Marie Claire. Tell me about this, you got 6 books out there. Best, what do you just keep, you got 3 kids, you got the show, what else do you do? Do you, you go to Vegas and your card counter?
You know, it's been a really, really incredible career. And it hasn't happened overnight. I've been in this business for many years. And to kind of go backwards, Sunday Setup was a practice that I just did in my home for me and my family, with a schedule of flying to New York every week and training celebrities all day long. I was falling off the healthy lifestyle in the food department because, like many people can identify with, that you come home, you're tired, you don't want to cook, you don't want to prep, and you're hungry, you want to eat something. And so the, you know, the convenient foods, the dial up, the order in, the take out. And I realized I can't do this. I can't be preaching one way and doing it the opposite. So I started just with this routine that I'd coined Sunday Setup, and it was really where I took the weekend and I was able to have that time to shop where I wanted to get the foods that I wanted to have. And instead of coming home and putting it away, everything stayed on the counter and it was prepped. So vegetables were prepped, fruit was prepped, eggs were boiled, chicken breasts were boiled, brown rice was cooked, whole wheat pasta was cooked, my beans were drained and rinsed, and you know, so I had these containers in my refrigerator on the shelves, condiments went in the drawers, and so every time you opened it up, there was this glorious choice of beautifully ready to go to eat or to assemble into meals, and we started eating better. I started making more home-cooked meals. My grocery bills went down. Certainly, we're not spending just crazy amounts of dollars on takeout. We were losing weight in that, you know, we were able to monitor now the fat, the sugar, the salt. And it turned into something that was now a conversation in a lot of the magazines you mentioned. So in addition to training celebrities, I was being asked, what do you tell them to eat? And so this became all part of what I did. And so much to where I was putting it in the books that I have written that kind of matched what was going on in my life. So when I first started out here after Coors, I was training celebrities. And so my first book was very celebrity oriented and taking apart body parts and kind of attaching them. You know, here are Jennifer Aniston's arm workout. Here's Drew Barrymore's butt workout. Here's, you know, and I went down the line of that. And then when I had kids, I wrote a book about how to stay in shape while you're pregnant, what to do right after pregnancy. And that led into teenage fitness, led into Fit and Sexy for Life, which is what I've coined as the title of my radio show. And then into working out in your 40s and 50s. And so it's really been just kind of putting my conversations down that I have with my celebrity clients onto to pages. And so the book thing was a really great experience. I can't say I loved writing books because it's so much more than just writing. I think when you write in a journal, it's very fulfilling. When you end up writing a book, it's a whole nother ball game.
Whole nother ball game.
And you're like, why did I sign up for this? But it's really cool. It is. I love that I've done that. And, you know, moving through, I have found all these other avenues, such as the radio show. It's kind of come around where I've done magazines, I've done TV, I've done the books. And now to be able to just sit back and talk on the radio and connect with people in a different way, it's really been great. And that's why I keep doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good journey. I mean, you've been, well, I'm thinking 20 years then, right? You've been 20 years, came out from college, something like that.
Yep.
What I liked about, what came to mind when you were talking about the shop, first of all, that I commend you for doing that, doing the shopping, setting it up. I liken it to a latchkey refrigerator. You know,
exactly.
You open the fridge, it's ready to go.
Ready to go.
There's no doubt that's the best way to be, although guys like myself, we're not doing that. I'm not going to go shopping. I mean, but for me, like what you talk about, coming home, I don't know what most guys do. Well, they probably grab the beer, whatever. I like pretzels. I like peanut butter, apples. Those are my snacks. So that's what I have around. So when I'm home, rather than go to the food, calling it in, or go for the burger, the quick hit, can't do that. But your way is obviously a much better way. You got the right products in there, prepackaged, ready to go. Snack becomes easy, and you're not making the bad call.
Well, you know where we've come to in this, in particularly in this country, and although you do see now, you know, the fast foods have been creeping into the European countries, and of course over in you know, Australia, and you know, it's really everywhere, but we have lost the connection and we've lost the relationship that we have with food. If you think about food and how typically people will eat it today, even if you go to something more high-end like a Starbucks or if you are, you know, a McDonald's drive-thru, you are getting something that is in a bag. You don't...
Greasy
you
bag.
Have no you have no idea where did that come from. How was it put together? Where was it cut? Where was it? Where is it? Ask the question and then tell me if you feel comfortable. And that's what I have been trying to teach, is get back to that relationship with the food. When you purchase something, let's say at a farmer's market, you purchase some greens. When you're there, and I think many of us in Southern California and probably all different parts of this country, especially during the summer months if you live north, but we'd go to either a fruit stand or a farmer's market or maybe a more of an organic type grocery store, and you have this motivation and this delight in purchasing these greens because they're so fresh and they're brightly colored and you know they're full of nourishment and you are taking pride in picking it out and putting it in the bag. And what happens is you go home and you put it in the crisper and you forget about it because you've done nothing else to it. You have not stretched that relationship, right? Or if you buy in the grocery store and it's already in a bag and you shove that bag into your crisper and you forget that, oh God, I bought that lettuce and you go back and look at it, and now it's stringy and green and liquidy on the bottom. How many bags can you even imagine in this country that's thrown out of lettuce? So when you take that time, and it's not a lot of time, if you added up all the other time during the week of like, where should I go? Oh, I should eat healthy. Oh, I'm too hungry. I got to stop here. Or, you know, just that, all of that put together, you would spend less time with buying the foods that you like to eat and creating that relationship by actually washing it, rinsing it, chopping it, cutting it, prepping it, knowing in your brain now, oh, I did that. They look so good. They're so fresh. I'm going to eat those tonight. I do it in celebrities' kitchens all the time. I show them this, and they are awestruck. They want to do this, and they do. They have created the relationship with food that most of us are continuing to get further and further away from.
Well, let me comment on that. I got a couple of things here. Well, things going through. First of all, let me make an analogy. On the celebrity front, I will say these celebrities, for the most part, have other people buying their food. You agree? I mean, you think Jennifer Aniston's going down to the Whole Foods and picking stuff out? I mean, if she is, that's great. But I mean, if it's easier, I wish I had someone doing it for me. I will say, when I get to that point, no question, I'm going to have someone buying my food. I don't want to be buying any food. But no, so that's the first thing.
It depends. Some because do. I have trained many, from Oscar winners to voiceovers on Nick at Night and cartoons. It just depends. It really does depend. Most of the clients that I have worked with are ones that will go to the store or to the farmer's market and purchase on their own, Julia Roberts being one.
Well, that's, you know, there's no doubt you should be doing that.
And the next part is their commitment to wanting to make sure that they're in control of what they're eating. And
well, that's the bigger picture.
And that's really where you see the ones who are not falling on and falling off the wagon. You know, the ones that all of a sudden they're in the Rags magazines, you know, my God, they gained 50 and now they've lost 40. And, you know, they're the ones that stay. And you know, you can pick them out. They have stayed consistently looking the way they do for decade after decade because they're committed to how they live.
Committed, maybe a little more motivated than most people when you're making 10, 20, 30 million. Maybe you're a little more committed. But here's the way I look at it. I'm going to use this analogy for the young folks out there. You guys know it. Guys or girls are out there drinking, getting boozed up, lowering your inhibitions, right? Then you start hooking up with people. It's kind of like food, you know, when you cloud the judgment, when you're sort of inebriated and then you go hook up with whatever, you're not really thinking that through. Most of the time, you're just looking for the quick fix, quick hit. It's the same thing. If you're being conscious of it, using the word conscious, the imperative word, you're conscious of it. You're going out there making the right choices. Even if it's the simplest thing is picking up, I teach this, is you pick up anything you pick up that's prepackaged, look at the box. You got to look at what you're consuming. I always look at the sodium. I look at the sugar. Why not get educated as to what it is you're buying if you're not buying fresh? Because a lot of people, a lot of guys especially, you're not buying fresh. You know, women, I think, are more, you're more conscious of this. I mean, this is something I'm going to project, but most guys are not going to the farmer's market. I like walking through the farmer's market, but I never seem to buy anything. I mean, maybe tomatoes, although they're not Jersey tomatoes, or carrots. No, it's interesting. I mean, I'm 51, by the way. I mean, I've been working out for 35 years. No bullshit. I mean, I just work out. Doesn't matter. And today was another day. Like, I go to the gym every day. Today, I didn't go to the gym. I say every day, but there's probably 4 or 5 days a year I don't go. But it doesn't mean I don't work out. Got to do the abs, got to do the stretching, got to walk to 2-3 miles minimum. Today, I'm going to go for a 3-mile run after here. But the food in particular, I understand that concept, is when you're not putting the time in. It's knowing what to do, but it's also following through. And what the stars are doing is they're following through. And if they're not the ones going to the store, I'm sure they're saying to whoever's going, this is what you're buying.
Right.
You got to buy quality. We talk about this in one of the themes last couple of weeks, quality versus quantity. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess what you're saying is, but how do you, I mean, truly, for someone who's never taken a liking to food, He doesn't care to make anything. Like with me, you know, if you said to me I had to clean the toilet or make a gourmet meal, I'd clean the toilet. It's like I'd go that route. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell these people who, it's so easy to go for the crap, that I know. I don't do it.
Right.
I just eat less.
Right.
My thing is I go without eating, and that's kind of how I do it.
Right.
But,
well, here it is that, you know, you take an actor, you take someone like you. You are a teacher. You have been teaching yoga. You had to learn that practice. You go to the gym. You had to learn what you were going to do for workouts. An actor, they get a script. They got to learn their lines. They've got, you know, there's a process, right? Food is the same way. And until we don't address that as food has to be, we have to be educated about that food more and more today than ever. When food is now genetically modified, so we're eating basically toxic chemicals that repel insects in the food, to where it came from. Where was this grown? What country was this flown into? When was it flown into? What chemicals are in this box that are keeping this box on the shelf in this grocery store for 6 months? What is this dye? What is this preservative? What is this going to do? What are the long-term effects? So those are all the questions that should roam around in our heads, especially when we take the time to participate in a regular fitness program, wanting to get healthy, wanting to get strong, wanting to have endurance, wanting to, you know, develop muscle tone. It's 50-50. How you move your body and what you put in your mouth. And so I sometimes for guys will say, look, you know, I don't much have a lot of loyalty to the magazine Muscle and Fiction. That's Muscle and Fitness. Yeah. But
or maybe it's fiction.
Maybe it's fiction. But Men's Health is a great magazine. Mm. And there's so many that are online right now. Live Strong is a great website.
I did 10 videos for them.
For guys. Mm. But there is stuff that you can learn about how you can put together something that has what I was talking about earlier, the micro and the macronutrients. It's so important for our bodies. We are hit with so much toxic waste from what we breathe, the stress, all of our electronics. We need to give back to our bodies. And fueling our bodies is the key to longevity. And, you know, it can be as simple as figuring out what are your most favorite things that you can throw into a crock pot and turn on low and come back to an incredible, you know, veggie chili or a turkey veggie chili. Or, you know, I mean, there's endless amounts of no-brainer recipes that really can fuel your nutrition and give you so much more back. I mean, I think, again, that's that relationship that people don't realize that they're craving, but they're filling it with all this other kind of garbage that they're not really paying attention to and putting inside that temple.
And it starts with, well, to use my word, you got to give a shit. You have to care.
You got to give
a shit. It starts with the care. If you care, yeah, then you're going to go and dig a little deeper and look at the food choices, yeah, for people who
and you know what happens?
Conscious of it.
It's fun.
Oh, it definitely becomes fun.
It turns into being fun.
Well, you have to make it fun to keep it going, too. I mean, you have to see the joy in it. I mean, you really can see the joy in anything, right, if you see the long-term results of it. You're talking about longevity, but it's looking better longer. I believe
looking
that.
Better longer.
Looking better longer. It's,
and,
why
you
not?
You know, people live longer today, but, boy, they live with a really crappy quality of life.
Well, obesity has gone through the roof here in this world. I mean, when I was mm-hmm. growing up, come on, how many kids, you look around, somebody said this to me recently, a school teacher over at one of the L.A. schools said, teaches high school. He said, you know, here's a guy in his 50s. He said, hey, Rich, think back when you were 12. He goes, like, can you really visualize your class at 12? He goes, how many obese kids were there? He goes, there weren't that many, like one or two out of a class of 30, 35 people. Now it's probably 10, you know, one-third.
No, it's the reverse.
What's the reverse? Kid, you mean obesity is going down or going up?
No, it is to compare to, and I'm in my 50s too.
Look awesome.
There was one or two kids, like you were saying, in my elementary school classes that were heavy. They weren't obese, like
no,
big and round and
a couple hundred pounds over.
And no. I say the word fat. I am
Me
not
too.
PC on that. I say fat.
That's fat.
Today it's the reverse. If you're skinny or
meaning
two, ideal
three,
body
reverse
weight,
opposite,
there's
yeah.
only about two or three of them. The rest
Ooh,
are overweight.
Yeah, see, I'm not visiting these schools, but that's those numbers are insane.
And it's the same with, you know, while we were talking very early when we first started, is all of the kids who had, you know, special needs. It was one or two. Now it's
a lot.
A lot.
No, and you know what this stems from? Talk about leadership. I mean, all this, everything you're talking, there's no doubt. Yeah, it could add value. It could change your life. You want to care about it, but it stems from the parents. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, if the parents are failing as leaders or taking the kids, stuffing their face over at these fast food joints, what do you think the kid's going to do?
Same thing.
Yeah, the kid's not going to follow. He's going to follow your suit. He's not going to go and say, oh, let me learn about all the good food.
Let me have some broccoli.
No, let me have some broccoli. You know, I went to this event last night in Hollywood. It was the animal rights charity event. It was all about, but there was vegan food from Whole Foods was there. Shout out to those guys. And I met a bunch of folks, one photographer in particular, who's been a vegan for like 20 years. She said, well, before that, you know, she's in her 50s. She said, before that, I was a vegetarian and I just, you know, I went further with it. Well, I mean, more power to you if you could be a vegan. I mean, I'm not there. I definitely need a full-time chef.
Right. I mean, right.
No, that's challenging.
Well, and that's something where, you know, I have been a spokesperson for many, many different companies, and I have been a spokesperson for USANA now for 6 years, 7 years actually. And it's where my passion has grown to really take it the next step in making sure that you're fueling your body. And we live at a time that we are really kind of lured along with FDA and the RDA to just kind of scratch the surface in getting what we need. And that's not optimal to me. I want optimal health. I want optimal supplementation. I want to give my body everything that my cell needs to be just the rock star of my body. Mm-hmm. And so working with USANA, and I actually brought you some stuff because I want to share it with you, has been extraordinary. And I know we're out of time, but the changes in life when one is optimally fueled nutritionally – I don't think there's anything to stop you.
Peak performance.
Yeah.
You got to be at your peak. Why not, right? 80-some years, Oscar De La Renta, 82. I mean, you're not living to 150 years old, right? Especially when you get to your 50s. You're right. Saying, all right, I'm on the other side of that mountain. I'm coming down the other side. I got to come down strong. I mean, mm-hmm. I want to be strong. Stand up tall. I talk about that all the time. Posture perfect. It's one of my Get Your Shit Together episodes. But, you know, it's all about keeping it real, and you have to give a shit, people. And if you don't give a shit about yourself, give a shit about the people you're influencing. Yeah. Everybody's an influencer. Yeah. You may not think you are. I mean, I say it no matter walking down the street, holding a little child's hand. If you're not at the corner, kids bouncing around, stepping into the street, grab the child's hand. I mean, that's a typical example of being a leader. Same thing with food. Where if you do go and you do the fast food, tell the child, okay, we're making an exception to the rule. This food, especially if we're getting the burgers or whatever, they're not choosing the salads. All these places do have better choices. You can go to a fast food place and make a pretty
good
choice.
You can, a better choice.
I mean, you know, you're the big, you beat up on that. To me, I'm always looking at it as quality versus quantity. Eat less. Anybody can lose. Losing weight to me, it's like a simple thing. I did a six-day diet. I lost 6 pounds. Like losing weight, I don't know where everybody makes the big deal about that. Just cut your intake. I know, okay, maybe that's not the way to do it. All the experts will tell me otherwise. But, hey, if it's effective. But, again, staying fueled properly is what you're talking about. You have to care. You have to do the research. Even if you're not one who wants to sit in the library, just go to the internet for 20 minutes, right? And everybody knows what to do. We know what to. Everybody knows what's in the categories, right, mm-hmm. when you say – but anyway, we're not going to beat up on that. We can go on and on. You know, you're talking fitness people.
On.
How about Jack LaLanne? I got to ask you that. Well, you were in. If you're 50s, you got to be a Jack LaLanne fan.
Oh yes, he was actually celebrating. I think it was his 89th birthday, and he was on the Today Show, and I happened to be there, and I was doing my segment with Katie Couric, and all of a sudden he plows into the studio, and he starts to tells me, Mart, you know, get down on the ground, and Katie, you get on the ground. I mean, I think I have the YouTube on my site, but you know, he was giving us the directions on how to do a jackknife, and I mean, the
dynamo.
Guy was amazing, amazing,
dynamo,
amazing.
Well, Kathy, here's what we do at the end of every show. I do this. It's called the Fast Five. I'm going to ask you five quick questions, real
Ready.
Simple. Here we go. Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate.
And if you eat ice cream, what's that, once a year?
Not a fan of ice cream, but I would choose chocolate.
You'd choose chocolate. Okay, good. I can tell. No fan of all the sweets. Number two, tropical island or New York City?
New York City.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Number three, ancient Rome was easy for me too. Ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Wild West.
Oh, I got that. Cowboy hat? No, right?
Yeah.
Like rocking it. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Depends on the mood, but I guess action thriller.
Action thriller, of course. I could see that.
Tearjerker alone, action thriller with my man.
Oh, okay. Shout out to your man.
Yeah.
And number five, candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Oh, picnic in the park.
Of course. Hey, get dressed for dinner, even if he's making your man's making you dinner at home. I don't know about that. Well, that was awesome. Well, thanks so much for having Kathy Kaler. You guys got to stick around for her show. Your show starts in about another, what, nine minutes?
9 minutes. And speaking of yoga, I've got Gayam on today.
I saw that.
Yes.
Gayam,
yes.
Yeah. And got the videos and everything. Gayam's
a big
powerhouse.
Everything for yoga, 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 yoga.
Yeah, check it out if you want to feel all things yoga, feel Kathy's energy. She's got a great show coming up right after me, 1 o'clock. Check it out. If you want to hear this again, right, the archives. You guys know where to go, latalkradio.com/Tola Talks, my website, richtola.com. And for those of you baseball fans like me, enjoy game two of the World Series tonight. San Francisco Giants took the first game. They beat up on Kansas City 7-1 last night. You a baseball fan?
I am through marriage.
Through marriage. All right. Well, your husband's going to enjoy it. Hopefully he's rooting for the Giants.
He is.
Okay, cool. They play. So... All right. Well, thanks, Kath, for coming in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And anyone who needs help, I am online with programs to help people. You know,
check her out online. That's Kathy Kaler, Kaehler.
.net.
You got it. And that's it for today, guys. I'm Rich Tola, and remember, dreams do come true. But hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.